And the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, is in our Dáil studio. Minister, you're joining us this morning to talk about your proposed reforms in rape and sexual assault cases. But you've been listening, as I have, to Ralph Regal recounting the latest details from that tragedy in County Cork. What's your own reaction to what has happened there?
Good morning, Mary. Hi. I mean, look, I'm not sure what I can say other than this is an absolute tragedy. I know there's an ongoing investigation, so I don't want to say too much, but I do want to offer my sincerest condolences to the family, to the entire community who I know are in shock following on from this, and just to acknowledge as well, I know a lot of local services attended the scene, and to thank them for the way in which they have carried out their work. But this is, you know, this is an unspeakable tragedy, and I really hope that the family can find some solace somehow. But obviously with an ongoing case, there's still a lot of work to do here. But just to offer my deepest condolences to absolutely everybody involved.
And as I say, you are joining us to talk about your plans now to have a more victim-centred criminal justice system, I think, when it comes to prosecuting rape and sexual assault cases. There's a big emphasis in your plans on training for judges, training for barristers, training for An Garda Síochána Síochána. What difference will this training make?
So I suppose firstly to outline today, I am launching Supporting a Victim's Journey, and this is an implementation plan to help victims, as you've said, and vulnerable witnesses in sexual violence cases. And what we're doing here is taking the recommendations from the O'Malley report, which was launched earlier this summer. There were 52 of those recommendations. There's four overarching themes, and quite a significant element of that was around education. But what I am trying to do is looking at a victim's journey from the very start of when they potentially become a victim of such a crime, to the information that's available to them, their ability to come forward and to report a case or an incident, and then what happens after that as they go through the system. And a really important part, as we've spoken to representative groups, organisations, individuals who have been victims of these crimes, is that it's so important when they come into contact, whether it's with a member from An Garda Síochána, whether it's when they're going through the criminal justice system, engaging with solicitors or barristers or the judiciary, it's so important that there are people engaging with them who have special training, who understand the type of sensitive and serious crime that this is that they're dealing with, so that victims not only have faith in the system, but they have faith in the people who are working with them. So that is why there's such an emphasis on education, but that's
And all of that is really important, but they will still have to go into an adversarial court system. They will still have to go in as the witness, and even with the reforms you're talking about, they still have no right of access to their own counsel, except in very limited circumstances.
So what we're trying to do here, and as part of the implementation plan, we're also going to do a larger piece of work before the end of the year, mapping out a victim's journey. And this is looking at not just the criminal justice system, but how can we improve a person's journey at every stage? Because you're right, it's a very difficult, it's a very complex area.
You can't change that, Minister. You're not changing the adversarial criminal justice system.
So what we're not changing here is giving a witness who is the person who is the victim of the crime their own separate legal representation, and that's because you already have the prosecution and you already have defence. But what we are doing, and this is to try and support that vulnerable person, in particular when it comes to very difficult discussions that they may have or questions that may be raised, whether it's around their past, whether it's around their sexual history, which are questions that do arise in these incidents at preliminary trial hearings. And this is new legislation that we are working on and that we'll have published by the end of the year. The preliminary trial hearings will be used to address all of these very sensitive issues, so that they're not sprung on somebody in court, but that they at that stage would have separate legal representation to be able to support them through that very difficult
process. But in fairness now, Minister, people, victims or complainants in court can't be asked about their past sexual history under the present situation unless it has been flagged and raised with a judge in advance and permission given. Why don't you go all the way here and ban, in any criminal situation like this, an investigation or interrogation about a complainant's past sexual history?
So this is something, as you've said, that's already addressed in previous legislation. However, where a defence essentially wants to raise certain things, they can put forward that, and it is up to the judge to decide whether or not they would accept it. But this is done currently in a court setting, and it's often done or questions are asked where there is no prior knowledge to this being the case. What we're going to do with the preliminary trial hearings is that any of these issues, any of this type of questioning, even the suggestion that it could be raised, would have to be dealt with in a pre-trial hearing setting. And this is where a person would have additional support, would have that legal support, and that they would have it at the same level as, say, the defence. Mm. So if it's a senior counsel, they would have access to senior counsel as well.
But only for that very finite period of the trial, not for the remainder of the trial.
It's not for the remainder of the trial. Mm. But what we're doing, and again, this is because we would end up with a three-way legal system. Mm. Because you do have the prosecution and the defence, and the prosecution is acting on behalf of the victim or the vulnerable person. What we're trying to do, though, and this is not just about the criminal justice system, the report itself or the implementation plan is taking a much more holistic approach. So it's what other supports do victims need as they go through this process. So it's not just the legal support, it's do they require counselling? Do they require different types of support to help them get through what is a very challenging area? And again, this is where training is really important, so that every single person that they come into contact with throughout this journey has training, understands the very challenging situation
but
that they're in.
But would you, in any circumstances, consider introducing legislation that would outlaw the interrogation of complainants about their past sexual history?
Well, this is something that we're always willing to explore, but this is very much a decision that has to be taken by the judge at the time. I mean, I can't decide what evidence can or cannot be accepted. That's, I mean, I've left this implementation plan an open document. So while we have very clear recommendations with timelines, this is going to be a live document that we can add to and take away. But when it comes to this very specific question that you've asked, it's not for me. It's for a judge to decide whether or not evidence can or cannot be accepted. And as you've already pointed out, there are very clear rules. There's very clear guidance when it comes to what can be asked of a victim when it relates to their sexual history or their past. So that's very clearly there. And Tom O'Malley, in his recommendations and his report, outlined this as well. And that's why this specific recommendation wasn't made.
Minister, to a few other matters, you've been overseeing a system of fines in relation to the pandemic and the lockdown. And there's been, I suppose, a degree of derision around the legislation that now governs house parties. You know yourself that in the Shannon, one of your own members said this definition of an occupier was unworkable. Michael McDougall called it bizarre. And you saw yesterday Fintan O'Toole calling it the Irish knock-knock joke. You know, legislation that's designed in haste without teeth is bad legislation, Minister.
Well, I think this legislation has been designed with the very intention that it has set out to address the concern around house parties. Now, it's been the legislation has been worked through with the Attorney General. The Gardaí themselves and the Commissioner last week said that specifically relating to house parties, that this is good legislation, that this is legislation that they can implement. I mean, we have tried to ensure that where people are genuine, that where, you know, somebody, a neighbour has called over, you know, where there isn't very clearly a large gathering that shouldn't be happening, that people are not going to be penalised, and Gardaí at every instance will engage with a person first and foremost. But we do have a problem here. This is a concern that was raised not just by the Gardaí, but by the CMO, by the Chief Medical Officer, when he said it's very clear that this virus is spreading in people's homes. We hadn't moved before now because we really didn't want to move in this direction unless we absolutely had to.
But do you have another problem with the legislation in relation to house parties, that if the occupier isn't there, the Gardaí essentially have no teeth to enforce legislation?
Well, I mean, we are currently in level 5. So if it's a suggestion that either somebody else has occupied the house, or that, say, you know, you might have had in the past where parents are away and a child is, you know, a teenager is hosting a party, you know, people are supposed to be in their home unless they are working or unless it's an essential reason. They shouldn't be outside of 5 kilometres of their home. So the occupier should be at home, whether that's somebody who owns the property or who's renting it. So, I mean, you always have a situation, even before now, where somebody can refuse to comply with a member from Garda Síochána. But what we have done here in this instance, and while we're still waiting on the in terms of the fines, there's still a little bit of work to do in that regard. This particular element of the legislation can be enacted immediately, and if somebody refuses to comply with a direction from An Garda Síochána, then there are repercussions here.
It will stay as it is. The Garda Commissioner, Drew Harris, was speaking last week in the aftermath of anti-lockdown, far-right anti-lockdown protesters in central Dublin, and he was expressing worries at that stage about their intent on disrupting state institutions. What level are your concerns at?
Well, firstly, I just want to thank the Garda Commissioner and the Gardaí for the way in which they have handled a number of incidents that have happened. Absolutely, everybody is entitled to a peaceful protest, and we have seen a number in the last few months since COVID has started that have been peaceful, where people have socially distanced, where they have wore face coverings. Unfortunately, though, in the last few weeks and right up to last weekend, there have been some violent scenes, and there have been attempts to disrupt, people going about their daily business and their lives. And the Gardaí have responded and acted. And I think what it shows is that they do have the powers and the capabilities to deal with those kind of threats, particularly where there is violence, where particularly where there is intent to disrupt those around them. But again, I have to stress, you know, we're not trying to prevent people from what is a lawful right to protest, but where that protest crosses boundaries and turns violent, then I fully support the Garda and the work that they are doing.
And the covert means of organising these gatherings, which the Garda Commissioner referred to as well, he said they start out perhaps on social media, but they then resort to covert means.
They do, and obviously the Gardaí have their own ways in trying to track this and to deal with this. There is a penalty for anybody who is organising such a large event, and my understanding is that the Gardaí have been following a number of directions or lead in that regard. But you know what you find often with lawful protests or with people who are trying to protest to make a point is that they will inform the Gardaí where they're going, what they're doing, and that they will set clearly what their intentions are. This has not been happening in recent weeks. These are protests that have been organised, as you say, via various different channels, trying to evade engagement with anybody, which obviously raises alarm bells in itself. But the Gardaí are working on that, and obviously I support the work that they do.
Okay, finally, briefly, there's been a huge backlash to the mother and baby home legislation. How are you going to fix it?
Well, look, I think first and foremost, the minister himself has said that this is, in particular, the legislation last week is something that could have been handled better. But I do want to stress to people, because there is a lot of confusion. This is a very challenging, it's a very difficult, it's a very upsetting issue. And there's a lot of moving parts here. But the legislation that we brought in last week that was moved through the houses was there specifically and only to ensure that really valuable information and information that has been gathered by the Commission over the last 5 years was not lost. And this particular information relates to the ability for people to be able to trace family members, whether it's mothers and children and vice versa. And because of that legislation now, that information will go to TUSLA, and under GDPR, people will be able to now trace family members. There is a wider discussion, there is a wider issue that needs to be addressed around the archives, but also around tracing laws and legislation and other elements. And I am absolutely confident that Minister O'Gorman will deal with this, will engage with the survivors and with those who are affected by this, and that we will try and progress things as quickly as possible.
Justice Minister Helen McEntee, thank you for your time this morning. It's coming up to 8:30.